Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. I have another guest on. He's going to share his journey, his walk as a Gentile. And I'm glad I had this brother on because we contacted each other in the emails, and he was a seasoned vet in this life. So I must let him, my guest introduce himself.
Shalom, Brother Larry. My name is Joseph Kettner. I'm 49 years old. I live in Southern California, and I have four sons.
So how did you come into knowing who the real father is, his son is, and also the true biblical names?
It started a little after 2020. The Most High started removing everything out of my life at the time and really drew my attention to him, put my focus on him where it hadn't been there before. And then doing the research, things started popping up.
So what was your life like before Yahuwah awoken you from this world?
I was a lawless Christian. I'll say that. I went to the private school all the way through eighth grade. But it didn't really, I was doing whatever I wanted. The Christian way was, you just have to believe and you're good. And that's what I always thought. So it got into to some, started getting into trouble around high school, girls, drugs. It started before that, when I was younger, and it led up into high school.
Do you think that any of these behaviors are contributing to a generational curse in your family?
Absolutely. My father was from poverty. He was from the lower class. My mother, she was more upper class. She was from Berkeley. And she the wealthy, more affluent family. My dad, broken home. His dad died at 14. He was raised by his mom. And so he didn't have a man. And when I was young, being a Snoopy kid, going through his drawers, that's where I first found pornography. It's like, wow, whoa, my dad, my hero, what's this, And then my mom, how's he doing that to my mom? And then marijuana, found it from him. And then the alcoholism, all from him, from his side. And never really knowing how to deal with it. He's not in my life now either. So I have struggled having somebody to bounce it off of or, not to pass it down to my son.
Who was your father figure, or did you replace him with anybody else, or was it drugs, alcohol? That was your father figure. How'd you go through that phase of your life?
I had a cousin who was 7 years older than me, and he was kind of my father figure. I lived with him through some of my teenage years, but he's more of a friend than a father figure. So it was gravitating towards my other friends, from high school or sports or running around. I'll go back. I got kicked out of high school my freshman year after the football season. I got caught with two loaded guns at school. This is before Columbine, all praise. So I got, I got taken out of school. I didn't get any work details. I think I got 6 months of probation. It was like a slap on the wrist, but I got kicked out the whole district, and it was all kind of downhill from there as far as who you're hanging out with and what you're doing.
What made you bring those loaded guns to school?
It was a friend of mine that was on my team. He had an issue at a mall, or so he said. And I was like, hey, you wanted to borrow him. I was like, all right, cool. I got you. So I brought him to school. And before I could give him to him, I used the restroom, had one of my friends hold it. Somebody came in, saw it, went and told the principal or whoever they told. And then the hall monitor came and got me on my way to class.
So when did you get married, or if you're still married now?
Oh, yeah. Getting close to 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was all praise. That was a wild one. It kind of even goes back to one of the shows you said, like when you, the things you did in your life, you have to deal with those in like the relationship, and it's going to get it out of you. I forgot the exact way you said it. Mm-hmm. But my wife, I met her when I moved to Southern California when I was like 19, ended up moving back to Northern California. But I met her, I think in 10 or 12 years of time passed. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just running around being wild. And finally, I got to the point where I prayed, you know, and it wasn't to Yah, it was to God at the time. And, you know, hey, I'm tired of this life. I want to, you know, I want to get married. I want to have, you know, more kids. I want to settle down and, you know, show me who I'm supposed to be with. You know, I'm tired of this. And I'm telling you, it's probably like, I don't know, a couple days later, I get a message on Facebook, and it's like, Bauer. And I was like, who's this? And I clicked on it, and then she's like, hey, I start messaging. She's like, do you remember me? I, you know, we used to, when you lived in LA. And I was like, oh, wow. And then she had I was like, that's kind of odd. You know, so when I prayed, there was things I was looking for. I wanted somebody that I knew from my past. I wanted somebody that was, you know, an athlete. And yeah. And tall. Mm-hmm. And all three of those things. And she had, again, I hadn't seen this girl in 10 years, and she's reaching out. She has a bat with my last name on it. Mm. I'm like, wow. So she's been thinking about me for all this time. Mm-hmm. And I, wow. So he was sending the signs. So I knew right there. I was like, thank you. This is who it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I bought her a plane ticket. She couldn't wait that long. She said, hey, I'm not waiting for the ticket. Mm-hmm. I'm driving out. And I'm like, cool. And then, bro, that was it. From there, it was kids right away. She didn't want kids. She wasn't a believer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we ended up, now we got three. But it just, yeah, we went right into kids. It wasn't get to know you again, and, you know, which how it should have been. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he sent it. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was from him.
How did you prepare yourself for your wife? Obviously, you said you had gone through alcohol, drugs, and other women. How did you prepare your mind for receiving what he had for you?
I was not prepared at all. Mm. I did no preparation. I mean, I wanted it, but I didn't know what it looked like because I came from a broken home. Mm. So, but I knew that's what I wanted. Mm. I knew I wanted to be with one woman. I wanted to have kids. I wanted to have a family. That's what I wanted. And so it was trials and tribulations. Like, you know, we were both of the world. Mm-hmm. And it was, it's been a lot. Again, a lot of battles, a lot of struggles, a lot of tests. I attribute it. I think of her as, there's a verse that talks about the wild horse, the bucking bronco. Mm-hmm. But if you can tame that bucking bronco, or the bronco, mm-hmm. you know, it's the most kind, loving, you know, what you get back. Right. So that's how I think of my wife.
How was that relationship molded when you came into the truth? Did she follow you easily? Like, did she submit easily? Or was it like y'all was bumping heads all the way through?
No. The Most High knows what he's doing. You know, I always wondered, like, hey, he didn't put me with a, you know, religious girl or a girl that was, you know, a righteous goody two shoes. And he put me with somebody that didn't have that indoctrinated into her. So she was more receptive. It wasn't a battle. Mm-hmm. You know, she's let me lead her in that. And she's trusted what I'm telling her. And she's gotten to see firsthand, you know, some of the benefits in Yah's power. I've been thankful and blessed. She's given me the time. It's, you know, what I say, she's with it. Mm-hmm. There's still the worldly things, you know, cause we have kids and, but we're still in the, you know, when the kids are in public school, man, it's hard. Yeah. That's one thing I want to talk about, the kids, bro. That's hard.
How hard is it though? It's like, I mean, you got boys, and ain't like you ease in it with girls and they kind of be like daddy's girl. It's like you raising your own yourself basically four times over. How was that?
It's awesome. And I'll praise that I got boys. I was going to be happy with whatever I got. And I kept getting blessed. I was unbelievable. But it's been phenomenal. The tough part is the school, because they have all these friends. Man, it's birthday after birthday after birthday. And I'm like, man, nope. And it's not, I feel bad, but I don't. You know, they don't see what I see. I'm older. I'm supposed to lead them and guide them. They haven't, their brains are still forming. But raise the child young in the way they should go, and they'll follow those ways when they get older. But it's been amazing. But it's been tough, again, with the school, because there's nobody around. I mean, there's a lot of people around, but when you're in the truth,
there's really nobody. Like nobody's around.
Nobody.
Do they have any relationship with your father?
No. My father was in our life, and he was there till my 16-year-old was about six. He was coming to all the baseball games and whatnot, and then he kind of, you know, he kind of did us dirty and then disappeared out of our life. And it's been about 10 years, and I haven't seen him or heard from him. And yeah, that's been tough.
Let me ask you, how old are your boys?
I have an 8-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 28-year-old.
Oh, wow. So how's the relationship with your 20-something-year-old?
He was from a previous relationship, not a marriage. It's not a super, super tight relationship. He always lived with his mom and his grandparents. And again, I was pretty young. I was really selfish. I wasn't committed as much as I should have been. But it's there. You know, we talk all the time. I mean, not all the time, but we talk. He calls and I call him. But it's kind of difficult. I didn't get to raise him and have as much input, and that's my fault.
Does he know about the truth, or does he know the different walk that you're in today?
I've had the talks with him. But the grandparents who, and the mother, you know, they're not into that at all. And even though I talk to him and I tell him, you know, he hears and he listens. I don't know what he's doing with it after that. But yeah, I definitely talk to him. And I feel like there'll be a point in time when a lot of people will get the opportunity to come to the Most High. They'll get the opportunity to listen. It's coming. So that's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
So going into your relationship with your wife, are you guys doing the feast days? How you been trying to do the statutes and ordinances? Where are you guys as a family with that right now?
Right now, Saturdays, I don't have the calendar, but we do Saturdays. We don't do anything. The only time that something will happen on a Saturday is if it's they have a football game or, you know, an obligation. But other than that, I've been trying to get this altar going, looking online. It's like you can't find how it's really supposed to be, I don't think. I did get the stones. I got them from a landscape place.
Good.
I got them set up in my backyard, but I really need to know where to go from there. I wish there was a book you could put out, man, that says, hey, this is how you do it. I'm with it.
What I did is I just basically stacked it like as if I'm making a chimney or a pit. I'm just stacking the stones around it. And what I did was fill the center with lava rock. You could just do it with any type of stone just to seal it up until you get to the top. And that's when I started placing the wood and the meat on top of the wood. So it's basically, I stacked the stones around, got some filler stones to stack it all the way up so it holds a little bit better. And that's how I made my altar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and what type of wood are you using?
I'm using fir right now because it's the easiest wood I can get from Amazon. They come like in these very, very small sticks, so I can stack them around. It's just hard. I moved on from Home Depot when they had flavored wood. And when I looked into Jubilees 21, it says light wood only. So that's cedar, pine, fir, you know, oak and like stuff like that. But that's where I'm at with it right now. We're just using Amazon's fire sticks, which are still acceptable because it's light wood.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually doing it. I took two of my sons to help me pick out the stones.
Good.
Because I want them to be involved. That is another thing where I'm looking for better ways to teach the kids when they're young. I don't know the right way and what to show them, or is it just, you know, throw some stuff on and let them see it and go from there. I'm looking for a better way because it starts with the kids.
Anyways,
they're with it. My kids are with it. They went from Jesus to Yah, and they know what time it is.
Good. Did you have any church community or family and friends that were in the same church or religion that you were in? And then when they see you come out of it, have they ever questioned you about it?
Oh man, yes. I went to Christian school for, again, until eighth grade. My mom, you know, the upper class, the Christian, you know, the follow all the rules, you name it. They're the teachers. So I was there coming out of it. And then when starting to read and find the truth, and actually it was presented to them, hey, did you know? And I'm, you know, my mom, nah, what? Oh, no. How come you're the only one that knows? Nobody else knows that but you? I'm like, stop. There's other people that know. Like, it's right here. It's just in the book. They didn't want to put the time in. Nobody. Everybody called crazy. And my family was really tight-knit on my mother's side. I mean, big family. Lots of cousins, grandkids, nephews. And now it's nothing. They don't want to discuss nothing. It started at COVID. You're too aggressive. You get excited. I'm excited for the Most High. You should be excited. Hey, the ship's on fire. You want me to just talk to you calmly? Hey, I'd like to tell you the ship's on fire. No, the ship is on fire. We got to go. But it's just excuses, in my opinion. And it's hard because these are people that I've always looked up to. I thought they were super intelligent. My mother helped, you know, I thought, you know, she helped me become who I am, thinking wise. And like, how are you guys not getting this? How? It's right here. It's so easy. It's not, you're making it way too complicated.
Right.
And it's not that complicated.
Were you a sports fanatic, or do you still watch sports outside of your children's sports? I'm talking about, like, obviously professional stuff.
I do not tune in. I used to. It was diehard. That was life. Like, it was ball, music, you know, girls, and that was life. And up until the awakening, that's what it still was. Always watching the game. I'm a, you know, Warriors fan, Niners fan. We were doing it. And then this came, and, you know, the COVID, and saw the way the athletes were reacting, and just, I was like, wow, this is wild. And then finding out, you know, what it really was. Nah, I don't tune in at all. It's really, I just enjoy watching my kids play because there's a lot of good life lessons. And when the time comes, they'll have a lot of, you know, people that they might be able to influence and share the message with.
Right. Do you combine scripture with how the kids interact with sports and learning and things that, as a young boy, becoming a man, which is what sports can teach you, a lot of stuff that, you know, you can't just learn from reading. Do you kind of mix the two so they have a better grounding of how to be as a man?
I do my best with it. I'm almost to the point where it feels like sports and, you know, the Most High, they don't go too good together.
Right.
Just because I feel like there's so much, you know, from especially football, all three of my boys play football, and there's so much passion, and there's anger, and there's just so much emotion, and you feel a certain type of way, especially when you're raising your kids and training your kids, and you don't really like feeling that. You don't want to be happy, you know, but I do. They're learning hard work. They learn discipline, because I know times that are coming are going to be tough. So I got them around tough kids, but they know that, you know, they're there to always, you know, love their neighbor, pick somebody up, you know, the sheepdog, never bully. I'm raising them how Yah would want us to raise them and treat other people kindly. But when you're on the football field, you got to do what you got to do.
Are you political?
I was never really voted one time. And actually, and then here in California, they were going to recall Gavin Newsom. So I was like, man, I'm running. I've whatever. I know a lot of people. I can make it happen, right? Like, this dude, he sucks. He's terrible. How is this guy even there? Anyway, so I got all the paperwork. I paid the money. It was like $4,200. Wow. I went down to Sacramento. Yeah. I was about it, bro. I took my 16-year-old with me so he could see what it was like. Like, hey, I'm about to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I'm doing. Whether I win or not, probably not going to happen, but I'm going to try.
Right.
So I did it all, turned it all in, got as many signatures as I could. They ended up mailing me back a letter from the states like, sorry, you didn't get enough signatures to qualify. Thanks. And that was it.
Wow. Yeah. Took your money and everything. They ain't no refund or nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. I was like, come on, man. But hey, you know what? I didn't look at it like that. I was like, hey, if it was meant to be, then it was meant to be, and he'd make it happen. And again, I wasn't with Yah then at the time. It was still, I'm pretty sure, God. And I was still being led to the truth.
Mm-hmm. Did you face hard discipline from the Most High?
Yeah.
Like, did he upend your life at some point? Like, obviously, the brother I had on before you, Mitch, he suffered a stroke for not being obedient. Have you gone through any, you know, circumstances like that?
Absolutely. I think my whole life, man, hey, he's been judging me and it's been quick. Like, I didn't get away with a lot. And, you know, all these other guys were getting away with stuff, but, the judgment, yeah, I was in the boys' ranch multiple times as a teenager. I mean, I've had everything taken from me, had nowhere to go. I was out the house at 14. Even you know, now when he brought me to him, I lost my job that I had for 15 years. This is right before COVID. You know, my dad got taken out of my life. He started just pulling everything. My son had some rare bone infection in his foot, so he couldn't do any sports. He, again, took everything out of my life and said, you're going to listen. You're going to sit down. You're going to read. I'm gonna show you. But he had always been there. Like, I had always known there was God. I always knew. You know, there was always crumbs he was showing me my whole life, like my birthdays, like... When we had that, you know, I had 777 in it. And I was like, oh man, okay. Right. I know. Again, a lot of judgment. And still now, might be something big, it might be something small, but I know when it's like, you know what you did when there's consequences.
In the earliest stages of your discipline and the obedience to him, did you fight back at all? Just because you're so used to handling things as if you were in the world still. Did you give a little pushback?
Never. That's one thing. I've always been able to accept responsibility for the things that I've done. Like, whenever I got in trouble, it was like, yep, that was me. I did it. Right. I was me. So I've always accepted it. And it still keeps coming. Maybe that's why I'm still here. I probably shouldn't be here. There's been times I know, you know, that he saved me, feel like angels, you know, turned the car left. When if I would have gone right, it would have been over. Yeah, I don't know what his plan for me is. And that's kind of still what I'm trying to find out, because I know he's been there my whole life. And he's put me in a lot of places where not a lot of people get to see. I've been on the wealthy side. I've been on the poor side. I've got to see two different lifestyles. My best friend is, you know, he's black. He went to Morehouse, and we've been best friends since first grade. And other than that, I don't have any tight friends. I have some tight friends, but not as tight as that. It's been, yeah.
How now do you navigate this world with your sons? What are you telling them to watch out for? And what to prepare for? Are you getting into conspiracies theories with them and the stuff that they like artists, music, Hollywood, symbolism, Freemasonry? Have you exposed that to them yet? When you're out with them in the public, say, hey, this is what the Freemasons believe. Like, hey, this is that symbolism. What do you do?
Yep, I've had them watch a couple of truth unedited videos on music and movies. Let them know what it does. It's really spells they're putting on you. The music is so powerful. Yeah, I mean, it draws emotions and you start singing it and feeling it and doing it and living it. So they know we don't watch TV. I mean, we don't watch a lot of movies. The kids watch the kids stuff, even though it's still questionable. Again, we don't I don't even listen to the radio. My wife doesn't listen to the radio. Still being in high school and being an athlete, they're always playing the trash. But yeah, they understand, they know, and they're okay with it. My son, he has a flip phone. He's in high school.
Oh,
I
wow.
didn't
Hey,
get
old school.
well, he don't want to be. But I'm not, listen, son, you'll understand later. I'm doing you a favor, man. You're playing Russian roulette with your mind. Being on social media, you don't know what you're going to see next, and you don't know what's going to take hold of you. So, he's alive. You ain't died yet. And get, hey, you're a solid dude, man. And he's good with it.
Okay. What do you think is the issue with a lot of young men in this generation?
Distractions. It's distractions. I don't even know how they do it. I wouldn't want to be a teenager in this time. I mean, it from the girls, the music, and it's full blast right now. I mean, you drop them off at school and you're like, there should be some type of dress code. And I don't think the parents are paying as much attention as they should. I think everybody's just on these phones. That, and I would say that's probably my biggest battle with my kids is screens. Because I'm anti-screen. Like, you guys don't need it. Let's go outside. Let's go do something else. Let's go walk the dogs or throw the ball. Let's read the book. But that would say that's the biggest problem. It's the distractions and everything. Now you can see the lies. You can see the deception. I point it out every time I see it. They hate it. But it's the truth. It's here. It's everywhere. And I'm very thankful that he's allowed me to have good discernment when it comes to these things.
Does your wife help you out with your boys about what type of woman they need to look for? Like, obviously, she's the prime example, but do you guys kind of get together and say, like, we want them to have spiritual women in their lives? Because obviously the state of women in this generation right now, it's just not it. So how do you guys parent?
Ooh, man, yeah, these relationships. I'm hoping. I told him. I say, listen, son, if you want peace in your life, you find a woman that follows the Most High, and it's probably not going to be right now. It's probably not, but and you don't need it right now. But just build yourself up so that you're ready. And I mean, my hat's off to him if he's able to, do that, because I know how hard it is, especially as a teenager. I hope that he listens, but that's what I'm telling him. That's what you want. If you want peace in your life, you want somebody you won't have to worry. You will not have to worry. You'll sleep good at night, And so just prepare yourself for your wife, and that's how you got to think.
What type of woman did you that led up to your wife that you suffered through? Was this woman
Oh.
based on flesh? We know the women were based on flesh. But how did you learn from those relationships?
Yeah, it was all based on flesh, man. It was strictly flesh. And there was still pain because you weren't living right and you thought you were living right. You thought, again, being not that you were following the word, but you didn't really know. I didn't know about the spiritual side. I just thought things happen. It was no good with the women.
And does your wife know this? Was she able to understand? I mean, obviously, you've known her before, so it was kind of pretty much easy for her to understand where you were coming from.
Yeah, she lived her life too. I'm gonna say we both, we both were unrighteous and both, you know, living lawless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we both got each other and we've both been, you know, helping. Again, he brought us together. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I do know why, but we're working, helping each other out. And we're both coming with we're both coming to him together. And she's supported me the whole way. Like you said, hey, whoever you found when you came into the truth, that's who you're supposed to be with. Mm-hmm. So I knew it before then. And then when you said that, it even reaffirmed it even more. And a couple of these shows, you said, you know, the things you got to go through with that woman are things you've done in your past, like as far as cheating. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a kid and bounced. Mm-hmm. That's not cool. Like, and right. I should expect the judgment. And mm-hmm. I don't know when it's coming or, you know, how it came or, you know, the things I've been through. That was it. Mm-hmm. Well, those were, sorry, that was the judgment. There's a lot of things I've been through after that. Yeah.
What do you think the Most High's mission for you is?
I think it's in the future, the time to come. Because I'm a people person. I can talk to anybody. That was me. I've been president of the Boys Ranch. And, you know, it just, again, I ran for, tried to run for governor. I can get out there. If I didn't know you, I could talk to you like I've known you forever. Mm-hmm. I'm not scared to talk to people. And I have a way I could get along with everybody. So I feel like when the time comes, when the world is searching and lost, that's when we'll be there. That's when I'll be there. That's when, right now, I'm not valuable to the world because the world loves the world. They don't even care right now. Right. And that's the thing I've seen the most. So I know the time is not now. So it's continue to study, show myself approved the best I can, and to lead when the time comes and to share the message and the gospel.
So until that time comes, you're basically sharpening your spiritual gifts or trying to find out what those spiritual gifts are.
Yes, I think. I don't have anybody to, you know, again, it's lonely. I'm in, you know, L.A. and there's so many people, yet there's nobody.
Right.
And I'm looking at, you know, I put it out there. I talk to them and there's nobody's interested. And I'm perplexed. Like, this is crazy. Like, am I in the twilight zone? So it's get them ready. Continue to pray. I think he puts things in my life every day with my kids. There's always tests. There's always lessons. So I'm always trying to learn from them. I'm always trying to learn from the situations that he's put me in, whether it's battling with my son or I had an argument with my wife. Mm-hmm. What can I learn from this? What is he trying to teach me for the future?
How are you?
I'm not ready.
How are you sustaining in the West Coast right now? I know taxes are crazy. Gas prices are crazy. Real estate, mortgage, everything is crazy. How are you sustaining right now?
By the grace of the Most High. he says, and I, we say he takes care of us. He loves the birds, man. He'll say he take care of us. He loves us more than the birds. Mm-hmm. Bless. You know, I have a really good, my wife's family's very supportive out here. They've helped us with our home. We used to live in Northern California, moved back down here. And she works for her father. And so I've been blessed with the time. So I have, you know, I get to take my kids everywhere. I get to go to all their games. But you see it coming, you know, because a lot of people down here are struggling. They might not be saying it, but you can tell, you can see it. Mm-hmm. And the prices, nothing's going down. Mm-hmm. But I'm really not worried. I'm excited, man. I want the prices to go through the roof so we can get the party started.
Right. It's going to be real survival of the fittest over here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because I know the future's coming. I'm ready. Like I forgot somebody else said that, like, man, I feel like I'm just in waiting mode and I don't want to keep building the house that I'm not even going to be in. Mm-hmm. Like I know that at the end it's leave here. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm preparing, you know, my wife and my kids for. We don't know when that time's coming, but really, hey, when we're in that wilderness, you got to be ready. And that's the mental toughness side.
Right. What do you do for work?
We rent out construction, like scissor lifts, boom lifts, and I do service on them, maintenance.
Okay.
Pretty simple job. I used to work for Chevron in Richmond, and I was a maintenance, or I was an instrument mechanic. But that's it. And train the kids and coach.
Nice.
Again, blessed. I have a pretty flexible schedule. I've never missed one of my kids' games. And this is something I never prayed for. I never asked for. He knows how much and what's gone into it and was like here. And it's pretty, pretty amazing.
So you don't have to worry about AI at all, because I mean, you do what you do is like hands on. Like somebody has to be there to get the equipment fixed.
Yes, the trades. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to be hands on. But you could see it coming, man. There's a studio right next to our yard that they just built, and it's huge. And I'm like, that's where they're gonna do all the, the Hollywood's gonna be going downhill.
Oh, really?
I think it's all gonna be AI. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they're opening up more and more of these studios. Well, I think the studio's just where they make magic. Mm-hmm. So there's, yeah. I
think
know.
So too. Like you're absolutely right. Because I was like, you see how good some of these AI engines are. It's like, what's the point of paying actors and actresses? Like people are so, like that stupor that we talk about in the books of Baruch, that the people aren't going to care as long as they can see it on the screen. They don't need to see celebrities in the flesh anymore, because who's seeing Hollywood actors on an everyday basis? You've seen them from the screen. So why not have, a whole AI engine based off real characters? Like, you're going to follow them just the same. Like, you wouldn't care less.
Oh, man, you nailed it. We would have no idea. Our eyes are not going to be able to detect that, especially from a distance. Mm-hmm. The way that I've started to understand, we have prophecy. They're going to, there's going to be a lot of people taken off the earth. Mm-hmm. I think hopefully what they're thinking is maybe we'll be up online. Nobody's interacting. It'll just be a picture of them. Mm-hmm. We know how they talk. Mm-hmm. We've already got your signature. We know how you look like. We've mastered this. Nobody will know.
Right.
I think that will be the lie. You won't know how many people have been taken off the earth. And if people are taken off the earth, who's going to run it? They need computers.
Right.
It's not going to be the righteous.
Right.
So it's coming, man. I see it. I try not to, I don't know. I know everything in front of me is real, what I can see, but I try not to do too much online, because it's a lot. There's too much. No right. One person can handle all that information. Your brain just like, shh.
Right. Right. I don't want to forget what I was about to ask you. There it is. Do you believe that people are changing emotionally and mentally since, obviously, we were around before social media, before we had phones in our hands? Do you feel people have changed how they handle other human interactions? Like, are people more, hyped up to fight? More people arguing? More people just not being courteous to each other? Are you feeling that vibe and energy out there?
It has been out there. I really actually, I don't think it's as bad. Maybe on the road. Mm-hmm. I would say on the road is pretty bad. The driving, that's yeah. pretty bad. But I personally haven't seen too many, big blowups. I think a lot of that stuff you see is just online, man. And you're getting videos from all over the world. Yeah. It's tough to verify all of that. But me personally, I haven't seen a ton of it down here. And I see actually more people starting to come together and get along, like, especially with this football thing. I've seen times where there could have been conflicts and everybody coming together and getting in the, middle of the field and praying. I've seen actually a lot of good. Not as far as that side. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot more togetherness, at least here, at least here.
Do you think we're going into a barter system? Obviously, when the economy crashes, the dollar isn't going to be worth anything, and people will have to rely on doing for each other, growing their own crops, trusting each other to share our services when obviously we can't walk into grocery stores anymore because it unlocked some of us out who don't want to take the mark. Are you prepared, or you have any relationships like that where you'd be like, okay, I'm gonna go here with this guy that has, you know, his own farm, and I'm gonna get things from there because of what the way life is going right now. Are you prepared for that?
Yeah, not as far as bartering. We have a supply of, you know, some stuff, but I feel like the Most High is going to lead us to where we're going to go. And he's going to take us to where we need to be taken and take care of us on along the journey. I don't know where I'm going to be when everything collapses. I might not be in my house. I could be in another city. I could be, you know, it. Who knows? I just know that he's going to be there for us. And however that journey is going to go, he's been there my whole life. And I feel he's going to continue to be there even more and lead me to the purpose that I have. So I'm not really, I don't know. I haven't put too much thought into it because I don't have that much control. I know it's coming. I just don't know. I don't know how it's even going to be. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but this is a little tip. And I don't know. It says a day's wages for a loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. Or a denarius for a loaf of bread. So we might want to start making loaves of bread, man. Right. When the times get tough.
Yeah, right. Right.
That's a tip for the Israelites.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do if you have to move? Are you just going to be like, I'm going to get up and go. I'm going to be out. I'm going to get the boys, wife, get in the car. We're just going to be moving. Do you feel like you are in that state where eventually you will have to move, or are you just like, no, I'm good. Are we just going to wait this whole thing out?
We'll be ready to move when the Most High tells us to move. The kids know, and it's weird. It's like things keep consolidating in your life. Mm-hmm. Like getting rid of more and more stuff. I don't have no pictures on the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, those have been all down. I was like, you know, I don't want us to be attached to anything. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get attached to it. You know, your rooms, don't be attached to your room because we will have to go. Mm-hmm. And they understand, you know, and my kids, they're with it. They just, all right, Dad. And I've been blessed with that.
That's an excellent point. Like, don't be too attached to stuff. Like, that is an excellent point. I'm definitely carry that doctrine inside this house. But if we have to move and leave, they just leave stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's you're not going to need it when we go into the land anyway. You're not going to need most of the stuff when you go to heaven anyway. Like, Yahushua talks about, you know, whatever you lose on earth, you gain in heaven. And whatever you lose in heaven, you lose on earth. What is the style of communication that the Most High uses with you? Is it done through dreams? Is it done through pointing you to towards scripture? How does he relay messages to you?
He's been through more when I jump into the scripture, because I won't open the Sefer with a predetermined book I plan on reading. Sometimes I'll just close my eyes and go through it and I'll start reading, and I'll read a lot, and it'll end up there's messages in there that have to do with the situation that I might be in at the time, or he'll just show me. It's weird. And that's how when I first started, I would just go through there, and then he would, you know, show me the scriptures, and it would make sense of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's been a process. I do know when I'm being judged for if I've done something wrong or sinned, and, you know, and it's not these thunder and lightning, but it's just, you know, cause a little chaos in my house or a little disruption, you know, to break up the peace, but it brings me right back on track. I'm still trying to, I don't know about the dreams. I feel like I'm dreaming every single night and it's crazy. But I don't know what to take out of them, or I don't know how to interpret anything. I'm still trying to figure that part out. Right. Maybe it's not my time to understand it, or I'm not sure.
Have you asked for understanding when you had these dreams?
I haven't. Mm-hmm. I haven't. Maybe I haven't asked the right questions. I've kind of just, I pray and I ask to do his will, and I kind of just let him guide me to the places that I might go, or in whatever the situation might be. But maybe there are, I don't have anybody really to, like a teacher, so to say. I guess, you and what I listen from you and again, Brother Rom. But so, no, I don't know how to, and maybe he will answer or show me.
Have you ever fasted for answers or just fasted in general?
It's funny you ask that. Yeah, I did. I fasted one time. My wife took the kids to Oregon and I said, I think I'm a fast. Because I ain't going to be able to do it. You guys here, I know I'm going to be like angry.
You can't eat?
I don't eat for a couple hours and I get angry, man. And so this was before we had moved to back down south. But I fasted for one day. And the word that came to me was endure. And fortify. Sorry, it was fortify. That was the word. And it was fortify your house. That was what he said to me. And I was like, okay. And that's when I really started to tighten up on my relationship and cut out things and put all my focus, into my wife and kids. And really that, I should fast again, man. But yeah, that was fortify your house. And then I started a thing, it was called foresight.com. But yeah, he told me to fortify my house. And I think everybody should, because if your house is loose and these times get tough, it's going to crumble.
Right, right. What was your distraction that he had to steer you away from?
Oh, man. It was everything. I was playing video games nonstop. The sports, the shoot music. I made music. I did it all, and that's where all my focus was. Yeah, and the kids, traveling. It was a lot, and my wife didn't get a lot of the attention, and that's another curse that was passed down, because that's how my dad was. He was going, hey, I work, I make the money, I don't have to, I'm just here and you take care of the kids, and that's how it was. And so that's not how it should be, though. That's definitely not it.
We come to the end of the show where I give my guests pearls of wisdom that they want to bestow on listeners who are in their situation, married, unmarried, kids, no kids. And you being my first guest that's 49 years old, even though you don't look it, you look about 35 right now.
Thank you.
How can men in this walk truly prepare and fortify their house, as you mentioned?
You have to cut out the distractions, anything that's not necessary. You got to turn to the Most High, get in the Word. You're not going to be perfect. It's a process, and you can't be afraid to fail or make a mistake. But you have to, again, put your attention to your house, your wife. It starts with, Yahusha, and then you, and then your wife. And she's there to help you. And I think a lot of people were so consumed with the world and again, our phones, and you just got to, again, all the distractions, and come back to the truth and start, again, fortify it. That's going to be your pillars when times get tough. That's going to, true character is going to come out. You're going to see who's who, and you don't want to be, shallow and weak. You want to be together. Times are going to be tough.
And one last question. Do you think Yah purposely goes after guys like us, guys who are in this world hard with unrighteousness and wickedness? Because he knew that once we turn, the same type of energy we had for being bad would be the same type of energy we'll give to being good once we know the real truth that we were truly lost souls. It's not that we wanted to be bad or tried to be bad. It's just we were in this world longer, and that's all we know, which was absolutely nothing of Yah. When we knew Yah, now we go even harder for him with the same type of energy that we send. Do you feel like this is the reason why the Most High chose the most lost sheep of the bunch? Because we basically known both sides of the world, and we can relate and interact and talk to people who actually been down that long path of unrighteousness and darkness, to show them, like, this is why we change. This is why we see things completely different and obviously be that light, because you wouldn't know if Yahuwah was actually working if he only chose the righteous. If he only chose people who are really good, when do we ever see them ever turn from anything if we know that they've always been good? Why do you think that he goes after guys like this for the most part to show his glory?
Absolutely. You nailed it. That fire, because in sin, it's going hard. It's staying up all night, two, three, four, just day to day, back to back. And then the turn, it's I don't even care what you say to me. It's all about Yah. There is nothing more important. And that is, I don't even want to talk about nothing else. I don't care who, if he won the book fair or that. Nah, let's, my mind is on Yah. And that is it, because the times will get tough and the whole world's gonna hate us. And even when the whole world is hating us, I'm still gonna be talking. I'm still gonna be out there preaching. I'm still gonna be out there putting it out. I know the end. And that's what we gotta do. He ain't going for the weak. Those people, he's going for he tested our hearts. He knows our hearts too, you know, and you have to build a character. We had to go through a lot to become who we are. And he's built us for a reason. And I think we will understand more of that reason as the future or time comes. But it is, we got that no back down. And he did, I'm a warrior for y'all. Like you said, I'm ready. I'm ready for him to kick it off, man.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. If you ever wanted to change your name to a Hebrew name, man, you could go with Gideon, which means warrior. So
Okay.
I thank you, my brother, for contacting me and we doing this show. I learned a lot from you, especially being 49, especially being in this world for a long time, and obviously having four boys. Man, I wish I was blessed with four boys, but it's a blessing for you to have these kids in your life, the wife that you wanted, and you on the path that you want to be on, and able to share your story, your blessings, and the fight that you had to escape from in order to get peace and rest from the Most High Yahuwah. I appreciate this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. All praise to the Most High. Keep your eyes on the things above.
Right. Thank you, my brother.
Shalom, Brother Larry.
Shalom.